Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the only podcast produced by three two-time winners of IMSA's Spirit of the Race Award. You're tuned into the Check Engine Podcast. We are hosted on Spotify and streamed worldwide on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. The three usual humble narrators are back. Nick, Andrew, and Tristan are all here. What's happening, dudes?
Oh, not a whole lot. I feel like, sometimes we miss a little time and then we come back and it's like, oh, I'm ready to go. And I am super, well, no, that I won't spoil it, but I am super ready for this episode. I'm feeling very excited. I have a lot of things to immediately derail this podcast with. So if you have important things to talk about, do it at the front of the show.
I have a rental car review.
Oh shit. Well, there we go. That's important stuff.
And we have a swag shop. We didn't talk about it till very end of the last episode. CEPswagshop.com. Why have we not seen you in the CEP gear, ladies and gentlemen? Get your CEP swag. What's wrong with you?
Please. Please.
Please get your CEP swag. Okay, Tristan, rental car review time.
Let's go.
Yes. Okay. Well, I have a rental car review because my family and I did the standard Dudley insanity of having my parents drive almost right past you, Andrew, but I think in Kansas.
That's like a different state. That's not like right past.
I mean, it's close enough. The things here, it's close enough. It's the same.
Well, enough that if they got on top of the car, they could probably see his house.
That's right, true. Exactly.
But yeah. So, and then meet us in Colorado so that I got to see and participate in the fun part of the drive without all of the time, so that we could, put in our time at work instead of having to not get paid, which is worse. So we were picked up in Denver. In the rental Chrysler Pacifica.
Hey, rental van.
Rental van review.
Yes. All right. Didn't wanna spoil it by changing the name. So I will say this particular purpose is absolutely best suited to a minivan. Taking five people 15 plus hours across half the country or more, and it did a fantastic job. The power plant was up to the task of hauling us and all of our crap up over the Rocky Mountains, and the brakes were up to the task of bringing us down the other side. However, that's I'm gonna give that a just barely, because you can
at the end?
You can tell where this minivan has its ancestry, where the family tree is planted, because it has exactly the same brake issues that the Dodge Grand Caravan / Chrysler Town and Country before it did. The brakes don't really fade, but they get really, really loud. They start to like sigh very, very loudly when you apply them. So it's a little unnerving, I will say, but they do stop you. And we crossed, the Mojave in 115 degree heat in perfect comfort. And it does feature integrated sunshades for the second round.
Hey,
so very nice to cross the desert in this vehicle. And yeah, as always, tons of room. When the seats are folded up, the Mopar minivans have always had that stow and go in floor seating. When the seats are up, it's all storage space. So we got to stow our, classic week's worth of beverages, because we didn't need to use them until we got to California, in the floor. So they were out of everybody's way. It ate all the luggage. It ate all the luggage plus all the souvenirs on the way home. All in all, I would say it's an excellent road trip vehicle. I think the minivan is overlooked for families who do a lot of traveling. We default to the SUV these days, and I think that's not fair.
Well, and for anyone with two or more children. It's
yes,
in every way, the superior people hauler. And no one even considers it, because I don't know. There's got to be someone to blame for this. Someone started the SUVs are great for families thing, and it's just like, yeah, they're okay.
The Rock. Do we blame The Rock?
Yeah, that sounds good. Dwayne.
Okay.
Run your
Dwayne
ass.
The Rock.
Wait. He's like, listen here, you some witch. Nobody better get minivans.
You had a celeb who started this, like Oprah and the downfall of red golden retrievers. Did I ever tell you guys? Never. All right. We have time for this. It's our
podcast. We're not a dog podcast, but I'll allow it.
You're going to hear this anyway. So used to be, no, a little history, a little personal history. My parents bred golden retrievers. So I'm more invested in this than normal people. But in the, I want to say it must have been the early 2000s, maybe like the mid-aughts.
Sure.
Oprah went from just having the most popular daytime TV show in the world ever to having a whole network. Remember, she created the OWN and she created a magazine. When she created this magazine, she got two white golden puppies. And she put those fucking dogs on every magazine cover for a calendar year. They're very cute. They're golden retrievers, but they were pure white when they were puppies. And they get a little darker as they get older. But I think they're called cream goldens, I think is what it's called. Didn't exist. They were a very rare breed. Now that's like the mainline golden retriever. And it can definitely be traced to Oprah because no one ever had them. Then after Oprah had them, every celebrity, everyone you see with the golden retriever, there's no more dark red golden retrievers. And that's sad because they're really beautiful. Like that rust colored coat. It's really, mm-hmm. It's really pretty. They bred out all of the distinctive features of that. We use a Western golden and put it into a cream golden, which is more like an Eastern golden back. Anyways, no one gives a shit about that. But that was Oprah's fault. Someone did that with vans, is my point.
Yeah.
Someone did that to the minivan.
Dwayne did that. The Rock did that.
It might have been that one. Well, remember, it could have been that year where The Rock and Vin Diesel, they teamed up. There was like the one was called, I think, the Pacifier, and one was called like the Babysitter or something like that. Remember, they had the identical movies where tough muscle guy plays babysitter children. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That might have been the two of them.
Yeah. That's their fault.
Could be.
I'll accept it.
But glad you had a good trip, Tristan.
Yeah,
I did. I had the patented Tristan's on a road trip craziness. Where
do tell
semi truck in front of us managed to consume a construction barrel.
Oh my god!
And
I heard this story. This is awesome.
And it didn't come out. So I saw the pedestal, like that weighted pedestal that the barrel sit on, was empty, and I saw the semi truck kind of like shimmy, but my brain didn't put two and two together right away until my windshield began getting lightly paint pelted with little pieces of orange plastic, and then it put it all together in a shocking realization that semi truck had hit a barrel and I don't know where it is. I begin to panic because it's a mountain pass descending to our doom on the left and a series of construction barrels on the right. And I don't really have a lot of places to go. And I suddenly begin to see orange creeping out from underneath the back of the semi truck trailer. And I was like, oh no, oh no. Oh no, what do I do? And
it's like slow motion. You have time to think about it.
And then it springs forth from behind the back bumper of the semi-trailer and begins flying at me. And luckily, there was, at that exact time, a perfectly sized gap of barrels on the right that I could kind of hide into. But the semi-truck behind me definitely then also hit that same barrel. I've never had such a lingering sense of impending doom while driving before. Because it was just like...
What about driving in snowstorms? You've driven in some awful snowstorms.
I don't care. It's...
I don't care. That's for fools. You'd be scared.
People don't worry about snow. Just drive slower. Flying construction barrels that you very likely have no ability whatsoever to avoid.
Yeah,
that's terrifying.
That's fair.
In a rental car, too.
So did this happen slow enough where you had time to tell the passengers in the van that, like, hey, this is coming, brace yourselves? Or is it just more like, like you couldn't form words?
It was more like the first one, but people didn't know what I was talking about. It's like, oh no, that's a barrel. A barrel's going to come out. And like, people are like, what? So I was able to form a thought that made total sense to me, and then I think Jessica got it because she was in the front seat with me and saw the orange plastic, and she also had the same time to see the semi-truck birth this orange barrel from the back, and bloop, and it pops up in the air when it comes out too, which is really funny. It looked funny, but it was also terrifying at the time.
Well, at least you'd be laughing at your impending doom. That's good. At least you died laughing.
I'm just thinking about the phrase, oh God, a barrel's going to come out from behind a closed bathroom door.
It's a big one.
Oh God.
A barrel's going to come out. So that was the road trip scary story with Tristan that Nick always complains that I have all the time.
I don't know why I'm jealous of this stuff, but I am. Maybe it's just because we
don't want to be.
You're jealous of the drip?
Well, I think it's just because we do a podcast that I want to come with some cool, crazy stories every once in a while, but it's always Tristan.
But you race go-karts.
Yeah, but it's... We don't have barrels flying at us. We don't see burned out vehicles on the side of the road.
Well, you easily could. You just got to do it yourself.
Make your own fun, Nick.
That's right. Be the change you wish to see in the world.
Oh God.
So inspirational. The next time out, I'm gonna be the guy weaving over to the side, taking out and collecting all of the cones.
Bring a stick with you and just knock them over.
Yeah. It's my cone hooking stick.
McCone hook and stick.
We're getting dangerously close to real life Mario Kart here, which I would also encourage. I don't know if it's possible to get some like turtle shells with rockets in them, but might be something to check out.
I know a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Turtle rocket guy. Before I ruin this podcast utterly, can we talk about one very important car that I had not seen until a couple days ago, maybe like 2-3 days ago? I don't exactly remember the last thing I said about Aston Martin, but I'm pretty sure it was extremely vitriolic.
Okay.
Because their cars are all stupid ugly. But have you guys seen the Aston Martin Valor?
I believe so. I've heard of it.
It's like this one-off thing. You know how when failing car manufacturers can't sell cars, they make expensive one-offs, so the Arab oil barons buy them. So they've done that with this Aston Martin Valor.
Yes. Stuns with retro shape.
Valor.
Valor. Good. It's got a manual transmission. That'll help. I do want to say this. It looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It's, I don't know if I enjoy the halo headlights. I don't think the circle, like the actual, like perfectly symmetrical circle matches.
I'm just crazy about it. I love that.
But it's, the rest of it looks really, really cool.
The tail is amazing.
You know what it looks like, Andrew, is a bullet Mustang.
Does that look like a bullet Mustang? Shut up.
Funny,
you don't know.
I was thinking the same thing.
You were not. It doesn't.
I was. That's why I immediately burst out laughing. I was not going to say it, but then he said it, and yep.
It does not. Run the poll. Close. Run the poll.
I'll run a poll. I'll post a bullet edition Mustang and the Aston Martin Valor
absolutely
in British Racing
not.
Green and say, do slander, these two look alike?
And it's nonsense. And it's also untrue.
Churlish and insubordinate.
That's right. Exactly. It just doesn't. Well, here, Top Gear actually has some pictures of it instead of whatever this is at the link where it's just J.J. Abrams did the cinematography for this because what the hell?
So much lens flare.
Yeah, not necessary. I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's totally, totally amazing and completely unexpected for Aston Martin, who I swear forgot how to design a car that looked even marginally okay.
I do think it looks really good. I think outside of the headlights, I think it's amazing. But I think they've been designing, maybe not the last couple years, but for a long time, they've designed a lot of really beautiful cars.
Basically since like the old Vantage, Vanquish, that might have been like the last car there's I really, really like. The old Vantage V8s, you know what I mean? Old now, quote unquote.
Not Casino Royale. Was it the Quantum of... Did they have a new one in Quantum of Solace, or is that when they went back to the DB5?
I believe it was DB5 and Quantum of Solace. Okay. But yeah, that time period, that area there.
Those cars were gorgeous at that time.
Yeah, love that. And I feel like I've not returned to form, because clearly we've moved on from the ability to design cars in that way, but I think this looks just glorious. Finally, something from Aston Martin that belongs in collectible die-cast form, you know?
It does look really cool. We'll post pictures. I will poll the audience on the Book of Faces after this episode drops, so people can get a chance to listen and then know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And also the wheels are just awful. They're unbearable.
So really, so even as you're big on shoe game. So the fact that the wheels are bad, you still think the car looks good?
I do, because clearly it's a custom Aston. You can probably get whatever you, if you want actual Nikes on that, you can probably get actual Nikes on it. But, you know, they're not going to stay that way. So I don't have to worry about it. The run of whatever they made, 100 or 110 of them or something, like the super, super limited. You're never going to see one of these. You're never going to smell it. You're never going to lay eyes on this ever, but it looks awesome.
Do you think Lawrence Stroll got one of these?
I think it's all Saltons, honestly.
Saltons and oils.
I kind of think it's all Saltons. Maybe a footballer, you know, in the UK who's going to write it off.
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, I think it's great. And doesn't at all look like a Mustang, so no need to worry about that.
Tristan, I think you have, we actually, as you were talking, we did a poll. What did the audience have to say? I think we've got a soundbite.
Which is this one?
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be
good. That's not what I was going for. I thought it was the one you were testing before we went on air. Talking about the crowd.
He wants crowd, yes.
Jesus.
There we go. Okay. All right.
Totally ruined it.
That was really funny. I hope you leave all that in, by the way.
I will.
That would just be fabulous. All right. Okay.
We have a soundboard, people.
We do. We have a soundboard, and we need to make more use of it. Now, can I take this completely left and just destroy a good at least 20 minutes of time?
One thing, talking about new cars. Have you guys seen the new Land Cruiser?
I have. It looks like a Mustang. No, I don't know.
Well, so you're not far wrong. To me, it looks like the Mustang, the Bronco Sport. But
it does look like a Bronco Sport.
But big.
Yes, it does actually look like a Bronco Sport. That is true. I just never know how I'm supposed to feel about. All right, so I've never been into off-roading vehicles, never been soft roading, I'm just not into that. So when a company brings out a car like this, I felt the exact same way when Ford brought out the Bronco. Like, oh, this is a reference to the 1974 Bronco, and this is the headlights are the 1965 Bronco. And it's like, I could not possibly give a shit.
From what I've been reading, that's not this. I mean, they just discontinued the last one in like 2021 or something. Yeah. So like this isn't a like, oh, we're finally bringing it back. Like it's been gone for a couple years and now they're redesigning it on their new truck platform that the Tundra, Sequoia, even the new Tacoma, I think, is built on that same platform. So like it's not like supposed to be some homage to the great Land Cruisers of the past. It's just a new model.
It just feels like, I don't know, maybe it's the look of the thing, not only Bronco, but also very XJ Cruiser. And I feel like that's going to, you know, once this starts showing up at car shows or on, you know, mag review lots, I'm going to be like, oh, this little detail was found in the Sub-Saharan version of the Land Cruiser in 1992. Remember that? And be like, I sure fucking don't.
Well, and what's worse is from everything I've read, I have not gotten a straight answer on if we're even going to get it as a Land Cruiser or are we going to get it as a Lexus GX300 or whatever it's going to be.
It'll be a Lexus,
like, for sure. So, and it's funny because they're like, oh, it's more affordable. Like the base model was $80,000 and now it's $50,000. And I was like, it's not affordable, guys. Like,
and also, you can that's say, not coming here at all.
You can say less expensive, but I would not say $50,000 is affordable.
Oh, it's absolutely not. The way that ball has moved has been absolutely insane.
So that was it. I like the way it looks. We're not going to see it that way. It's going to be dressed up as a Lexus. It's going to be in a tux. So I don't really care about here, but I'm glad that they kept it going and simplified it a little bit in some ways and not in others. They made it a hybrid this time, which is more complicated, but
yeah, Toyota moment.
Yeah, hybrids are actually pretty decent off-road, so it's fine as long as you don't break them. So I like it. Just wondering if you guys had seen it at all. It was a new one for me.
Looks like a Lego. Just like a big Lego block.
Yeah, at least we're now coming around very rapidly to the point where the whatever it is, Lego Technic pieces of shit model cars will look again like the cars. Because the cars are so ugly.
Just make the block.
Well, there's some good news.
Those really are truly awful. And people need to stop buying them. I'm just going to, I'll say it that way. Stop buying those. Don't retweet the posts. Be done.
We should have The Rock tell people to stop buying those like he did for minivans.
I blame Jalopnik for that, but anyway.
That'll stop it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay.
Okay, derail us.
So here's the thing.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Many months ago, I don't know if I told Tristan this or anyone. I don't remember. I know I shared it at work. Many months ago, I was scrolling the Amazon to look for something to watch.
Uh-huh.
And I happened upon this documentary. I don't remember what it's called at this point, but in this documentary, there was a man making the obviously sensible and true claim that the way to get in contact with the aliens was through group meditation.
Well, of course, as you would.
Yeah, right. Everyone knows that one.
Yeah.
So I watched about 10 minutes of that. It was completely exhausting. Turned it off. Thought it was really funny. Told the guys at work. I was like, maybe someday I'll get back to watching that. Never, ever did. But little did I know that by watching that documentary, the algorithm had already got me, bros. So on YouTube, you get the infiltration from the algorithm, right? And so related clips from other, I can only see it now because, you know, it's the end of the story. So related clips from shows that had this guy on, his name is Dr. Stephen Greer, started showing up in my feed, and they're podcasts that can cover, you know, like some pop culture stuff, but also technology stuff, conspiracy theory stuff, things that I'm kind of generally interested in, especially conspiracy theories, because so many of those podcasts are awful and no one can just cover anything. They all got to be weird. Anyway, so Dr. Stephen Greer, names coming up and up and up again. So finally I give in. I listened to an episode of some podcast that he's on. And what he said, this was maybe a month or month and a half ago, what he said was that soon there would be a bill pushed through Washington that would give government contracting companies 6 months to reveal any quote unquote exotic materials. And I was like, oh, well, you're caught. Obviously, this is fake.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's actually an amendment to the Department of Defense budget that does exactly what he said and grants immunity to whistleblowers working in the DOD or for these companies, for them to disclose any improprieties or technologies or exotic materials. And apparently people are doing this in droves in Washington, in SCIFs, and disclosing securely or in public. And Congress has had testimony about the aliens going for like 2 weeks now. And you can live stream it. You can watch it. And a week ago or so, there was an announcement in a news story that was not in the headlines very long. And not only did we have knowledge of the aliens and recovered a craft, but also recovered actual aliens. These are things that have really happened. So now I'm at the position where this asshole has been proven right retroactively about crazy shit that he said in the past. Dr. Stephen Greer has been proven to be right about crazy, insane things that he said. And I have no idea how to deal with this.
I haven't seen any evidence. People can say anything they want.
Yeah.
No one gets punished for lying to Congress, even though it's technically illegal, but no one does. So
that's true.
If I see any evidence, I am happy to believe in it. I do not have the mental energy to pay attention to a bunch of people going in front of Congress and saying absolutely batshit stuff.
But what is evidence to you?
When they provide that exotic material.
So the F-18 videos from Navy pilots of the UFOs, you know, flying in the air, going underwater, that's not evidence.
No.
Gotcha. And then, so testimony's not evidence.
Yeah, testimony is words.
Testimony is not evidence.
That F-18 footage is primarily lens flare.
Okay, interesting.
That's the current analysis, is that it's lens flare. And I saw a very good comparison to, actually, the guy used his iPhone and an oblique light. And he's like, and all I have to do is tip my phone a little bit and pew, 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 UFOs. So it's, I'm not convinced by, you know, functionally kind of sketchy gun camera footage. I'm not convinced by people saying things, because I can tell you, listeners, we no longer need the hashtag fun Tristan's Audi. I have won the $1.7 billion Powerball.
Okay.
Are you convinced by that?
Sure, why not?
No, you're not. He took too long. So, yeah. So I can tell you whatever I want with confidence. And you can say whatever you want with confidence. Once there is actual evidence of, like, hey, we have this paper, this, you know, this exotic material has been handed over to the government. We've run it through peer-reviewed study. We've done metallurgical analysis, etc. We cannot explain the genesis of this piece of material. Hey, we have a new piece of alien technology that we have looked at and attempted to reverse engineer. Here's our paper on it. They published it in Nature. You know, it's the same way I treat everything. Once it becomes actual science, I will be deeply interested. Once it becomes plausible possibility, because even if it hasn't been peer reviewed, there's enough, like, look, here's the, you know, here's the preliminary abstract. It hasn't been peer reviewed yet, but we actually ran it through that. Then I'll start looking for peer review and be interested. And once, you know, once we go further than that, I'll believe it. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time with behind closed doors testimony to Congress about aliens when there's so many other important things happening.
Sure.
And I think it's that's my conspiracy theory, is that it's super convenient that we're going to drop a bunch of information about the aliens when we have so many other things as a country to pay attention to, like the election coming up in a year and everything else. Like, that's my conspiracy theory talking, is I'll put this entirely on the back burner while I pay attention to things that are going to impact me right away. Even if we did get aliens, let's say they came and we've got all their stuff, until they reverse engineer it and provide unlimited cold fusion power, nothing in my life is going to change until they either come back again and I can talk to them, or they start giving us technology, or they come and wipe us out. So
I do definitely think that it's a flaming hot take to say, if the government got aliens last week, that's not a big deal. I think that's pretty hot. I will say that.
Like I said, if they did, it's a big deal. But I have yet to, it has yet to be proven that they did.
All right, that's interesting.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it, my hot take is not that, oh, I don't care about aliens. Like, my rather tepid take is, cool, show me.
But the only thing that would show you is a peer-reviewed, somehow, a peer-reviewed study of something, that which would not be how this would work, right? That it would not work in that fashion. It wouldn't be, here's reports from, you know, a dozen J6s or whoever it is, right? The people in the government reporting a cover-up related to government projects that they worked on, different projects, but they need to take that report to peer-reviewed study before you would hear it.
I mean, no, like I said, it would be, that would be where my true belief would start, but I would begin,
well, that's
paying,
not belief though,
if it, but I would begin paying attention. No, it's not faith. Belief is like, hey, I believe you because you provided evidence to me. I believe in you because I have faith in you.
Well, no,
and that's faith.
Facts require belief, though. Facts don't, that, like, right? Facts do not require belief. That is the, that is like their main use. You know what I'm saying? Like, no.
Yeah. If you don't, if you don't believe that 2 + 2 = 4, that's fine. It's still a fact.
It doesn't change the facts, right? Yeah. But the solid fact is what you're looking for.
Yes.
And
even if that's as simple as, like, hey, this amendment went through, the government has to, like, make all this stuff known. And it's like,
well, it's actually not the government. It is the contractors. The amendment is targeting the contractors. Which
okay.
is even more strange if, okay, so fundamentally, this amendment is so bizarre because it seems by design, right? But it kind of insists upon the fact that in order to buy into it or believe it or think that it could be real, you have to buy into the broader conspiracy of a giant shadow government, which is, to me, already where it gets ridiculous, right? That there are these companies who are so wealthy and so powerful that they can somehow employ what surely must be thousands and thousands of people to do highly illegal things and highly immoral things out fully outside of the reach of any government. And in fact, they are like the, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, the super government. I don't fucking know, whatever term you want to use. That is the troubling part, because that requires too much. That's too far to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that that's part of what I'm synthesizing in my head as to why I don't why I haven't really bought in yet, is that there's just too many leaps to get there. But
what
that's
think,
beyond man? Beyond my knowledge.
What do I think about?
What do you think about the aliens? Tristan's out. He says they're not real. Roswell never happened. We are alone.
No, I in fact very much I in fact very much believe the opposite.
Yeah,
I'm on Fermi's side, saying that statistically, due to the size of the universe, do not believe we can be alone. I simply believe they have not reached us yet.
Yep,
or us to them.
I believe wholeheartedly too. Like, if the universe is in fact infinite, that by math and statistics, there would have to be another spot that would have the exact same, you know, chemical composition of the atmosphere, distance to a sun, the appropriate size or the ratios thereof to support the same thing we're doing.
And that's just to make carbon-based life forms.
Exactly. But there could be life forms. And everyone seems to think that life means like little green men with bulging eyes and big heads. Like, life could be a whole lot of things that aren't necessarily carbon-based, that don't look a thing like us, that could just be single-celled organisms somewhere. Yeah, there's some out there. Absolutely 100% believe it. I do not believe that the government has an example of any of it. I don't care what's going on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, if the universe is infinite, right, then it's far more likely that everything that has happened on this planet has happened exactly this way up until this moment where it suddenly diverged and Tristan said poop for no reason. Like, that reality is more likely to have happened in an infinite universe than to not have happened. Right?
Maybe.
I think it's interesting. I think there's a lot of grandstanding in like a Senate hearing, because they are largely for show and don't really accomplish anything. But the amendment being real really throws me off, because it creates a way to make companies who do not declare these exotic technologies, essentially, to make that, the act of not disclosing, illegal. Which is really weird, because these contractors are, regardless of whether or not they hold the alien shit, incredibly powerful and vastly wealthy. And as has been confirmed going back and back and back in history by people you wouldn't expect, like Dick Cheney, there is a shitload of that defense budget that goes missing every year to the tune of billions of dollars. Like, there are pieces that fit together where something is happening, and it's probably just people skimming it off the top to buy Ferraris. Like, that makes more sense. But why would anyone go this far? At all. Why would anybody go as far as to actually introduce this and append it to the Department of Defense budget? Why would they go that far?
I think it's all CYA.
Just in case.
I mean, like,
real.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you happen to recover any alien technology, you guys gotta tell us.
Finger wag.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really, really, really weird to me. And the buy-in is so high, right? That's something I've talked about with other people. Like, the cost of buying into believing even the basic part that the aliens are real and the government now has some, but maybe, because immediately you reach the point, all right, so they have some now, but what about in the past? Because then it gets into all the related things that aren't necessarily alien focused, but things like black shelving, which we know to be real. Well, someone will come in and buy out a new technology and just put it on a shelf and it's never seen again. Like, that is real.
Yes.
Or suppressing whatever it is, the water powered car, the electric car. All of these things have happened. But what is the modern equivalent of that, right? Because if someone invented a water-powered car in 1960 and that was taken from them or bought from them or they were killed or died, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And already it's recursive conspiracy theories, because then it's who killed this guy and then it's who killed that guy, what happened to this? It just, the way it spirals in every direction anytime you try to look at this is what makes it so problematic to even approach.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we shouldn't approach it then.
I guess. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that is so interesting to me, because little pieces of things that have been said by people who were labeled absolutely insane by the establishment are coming true at the hands of the establishment. That makes it problematic to say, no, he's just crazy. Clearly none of this is true, because actually parts of it are now true. They've been either true the whole time or made true by virtue of someone being crazy enough to believe some people like Stephen Greer or any of these conspiracy theorists who have come forward to say things that are objectively true, like the CIA created Hollywood, or things that are not objectively true, like I was abducted, which again, I guess maybe they could have been, you know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't spend that much time and energy thinking about it, to be honest with you.
Fair enough. Okay.
I've got other things going on in my life that I'm worried about right now.
I guess. I would imagine. But say the government or Boeing drops the wild, because like that's Boeing. Who would be, right? That's a government contractor,
of course. Boeing, Lockheed Martin,
yeah, Lockheed, yeah, Raytheon.
You, Raytheon, yes, absolutely. Ray, okay, we'll say Raytheon because it's a
great name. More,
it's a scarier awesome name than Boeing, right?
Yes, like, Raytheon is a villainous cool name.
Yeah, exactly. So Raytheon drops the wild gravity powered car, right? Or gravity, whatever, gravity resisting car, whatever it is. That would be kind of cool. That would be relevant to your interests.
Yes, then it would kind of spin it back around to my interests. But until something like that happens,
and it would
really
also
care.
Spin it back around to when I would care, because I could go drive it.
Yeah. Well, no, what you could see it, but you could see it on video, which is essentially where we are now. You could see it on video. You couldn't buy one yet. Is that proof enough?
Nope, the like government heard him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Lost him for a second. Oh, he's back. Lost him for a second.
Is my internet going on or something? Genuinely?
No, you're back,
Andrew,
now.
Andrew, they were listening to you.
I hope so. Anyways, so Tristan needs a peer-reviewed study. Nick doesn't really care. Not that interested. Doesn't think it's that cool. I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's very important and cool. I will say that for once, the government is thinking ahead. A lot of the naval pilot testimony from as I was reading this about this is that none of them would come out and say like this is aliens. In fact, they specifically didn't say so. The only guy that did was like that Grouche guy or whatever. But like they would say, I seemed to see something that I didn't know what it was. Now, whether that was, you know, an artifact in my imaging system, whether that was a balloon, like we saw recently,
a classic.
You know, we don't have a process in place for handling. What is it? They've changed. It's like, you know, unexplained aerial phenomena or whatever. What they call it now.
We've been saying UFO. It's UAP or
yeah,
right? UAP.
And like, whatever that may be, an unknown enemy aircraft, a balloon, an actual alien spacecraft. We don't have a way of handling those, and we need to, because they could pose a threat to us. And I think that the very important thing that this hearing will do is at least codify what our response should be. And I think that that's...
To clarify, you know, the response is actually very well written in law already. The actual response to making contact with aliens is... There's a whole process for it already.
Well, right. But for example, like those F-18 pilots, like, what is it? The quote was like, you know, was never briefed on the object, its potential origins, and like what to do with the actual thing itself. Like, do I follow it? Do I leave it alone? Do I report it to the AWACS bird? Do I shoot it down? Like, what do I do? And like, you know, I think that that's going to be interesting. Is, you know, if we start developing things in case this is real. Like I said, I am 100% behind the fact that aliens are out there of one kind or another. That's not a question for me, at least. It's the fact that, is there, like you said, do I have to take the big conspiracy theory leap of, you know, there's a cabal, favorite word, there's a cabal of corporations out there that are keeping alien technology from the public and the government. And now the government's going to get it all, and either they're going to bury it or it's going to become some boon for mankind. And if the aliens came, do they just come once at Roswell, or did they have they kept visiting us? What's going on? Like, you know, all those are interesting to think about, but no, like when pressed for specifics, no one's been able to provide any. Like even if he came to this and was like, hey, here's all this stuff I know, I'm a whistleblower. Like, you're not a whistle. Like, I could be like, hey, Check Engine Podcast fans, I'm a whistleblower. Andrew's really into Hello Kitty. And then like, but didn't be like, because when I was at his house, I saw that in his office, he had a bunch of like Hello Kitty memorabilia on the wall, and his background on his computer was like, even if none of that's even true, he didn't even go that far to like drop any knowledge whatsoever. It was basically like, cool, like you don't have to tell us the details, but like what kind of things, you know, was it exotic metals, polymers, what kind of things are we talking about? And he's like, stuff. Like it's just not a convincing testimony, even if you don't have to go as far as a peer-reviewed journal. Like, you know, it's if he was more willing to provide any compelling evidence, even hearsay from himself, it would be better than what he put together and trotted out in front of Congress. Now, the amendment, like I said, it's interesting. I'll write that one off as CYA because the government wants its hands in everything. like, hey, like if you happen to have recovered an exotic material, even if it's from space, let's say SpaceX builds a rocket and goes to Mars, and there's some exotic alloy on Mars, and they don't give it to the government. Government's not going to like that. So yeah, they're going to write stuff into the DOD budget, which the DOD and NASA are people who are paying SpaceX, like for a lot of these launches. They're using private companies. They're using Boeing. They're using it's the European one, the Ariadne rocket or whatever. Like, yeah, you know, they're using these private companies to get to space, and they don't want any cool stuff they find in space to belong strictly to these companies. And that's more where I think that amendment is coming from. It just so happens to, you know, cover, you know, bolts off of an alien spacecraft. But, you know, I think it's more about our journey into space is just beginning. It's growing fast. We got to write something into all this about what to do with all the cool stuff we find out there. Which I'm very excited and what's the stock term? Bullish?
Bullish,
yeah.
Yes.
Positive one. Bullish. Mm-hmm. I'm excited and bullish about all the cool stuff we're going to find out about in space.
As long as there's evidence.
Which there will be.
If they find it, bring it back.
They're sending actual scientists to space, Andrew.
I mean, yeah, I suppose. We'll see. As long as that scientist is peer-reviewed.
That's the point. Yep. Even scientists want that.
Yeah, no, it's important.
Are we no longer a car podcast?
Because we got to change that shirt.
Yeah, we just put out a new shirt on the swag shop.
That's true.
That says we are a car podcast, and we're not a conspiracy theory podcast.
That's not true. It does not say that anywhere, and it never has.
It does say, or are we?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, we added that little caveat to the message.
Andrew, we left the door open for you.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, yeah, we could be a conspiracy theory podcast. If you want to talk about cars, we can talk about this, not conspiracy theory, but something that we're going to have to deal with in terms of cars.
Oh, goody.
Maybe the aliens can save us from this. This is something, an interesting article about something that I suspected, but didn't really know the scope of. So electric vehicles, the not future and not present of cars. Apparently, something that's becoming more and more common, and this makes some amount of sense, is that if you get in a, let's say, a moderate accident in an EV,
mm-hmm.
and damage, how can I explain this? Damage the pack, but the way the article phrases it is scratched EV battery ? I think it's probably a little more damage than that. Basically, if there's visible damage on the battery pack, they're scrapping the cars.
Yeah, because the yep. cars are often using the batteries as structural members. Mm-hmm. And if you damage one cell on a lithium battery, you got to toss the whole thing. Now, you can remanufacture that battery and a lot of the cells will be reusable, but you can't keep the pack intact anymore.
Or some are repairable technically, the actual like packs.
Yeah, but you have to rip them out of the car to fix right. them, and then the car is still a write-off. Yeah.
And who yep. the hell even does that? Like who actually does that work, even if it is theoretically possible?
Yeah. No, that is a significant issue with EVs, and that's I think also why a lot of people are trying to get to replaceable batteries being kind of the holy grail where you can yank the whole battery out and put a new one in. You're not using it as a piece of the structure. But they're just too big and heavy right now if you're not putting that weight in as part of the structure of the car and you still have to build a whole car structure also.
Yeah. Ugh,
heavy.
It's just that, one of the guys I work with is I don't want to call him a big environmentalist, but he cares about environmental issues. And one of the things he hates most is electric cars because of the greenwashing is what he called it, which is a pretty funny phrase to me. But the greenwashing.
That's real. Yeah. Greenwashing is very real.
It absolutely is. I mean, I always think about the problems of creating the car and what happens at the end of its life, not considering the fact that anyone with an EV, essentially, according to this is a Reuters article, could get Tristan's RAV4. Like mild rear.
Oh, my Forerunner.
Oh yeah, Tristan's Forerunner.
Forerunnered. Yeah.
You could a mild rear end collision.
Oh God, thank you. They put collision on the end of it.
Yeah, a mild rear end. A mild rear end collision. That just totals the car, and of course, unlike this, that you would have had, you know, a brand new, again, $50,000 car, how affordable, and they would just write it off.
That's why insurance is so much for them.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, man, something I completely forgot about.
Yeah, I'm curious, and this is this comes from a place of not knowing. I know that they've done studies specifically on carbon, but I don't know what the rest of the environmental impact is for creating the car. Like, carbon-wise, you do still come out ahead with an EV over its lifespan for carbon emissions, but that doesn't take into account, you know, acid runoff from the mine to get the metals and all other stuff. So I'm curious if anybody's done well, and I'm not even getting into that. I'm keeping it even more simple, because we're just talking about an environmental thing first.
Sure.
It's like if they've done a full environmental impact statement, like building a building has to do, where it's like, what's the environmental impact of one of your cars, and you have to give me everything, you know, carbon footprint, you know, runoff, how much land you have to dig up to get the metal out, you know, that kind of thing. I'd be curious if anybody has run a full statement on them, because I know we're all worried about global warming and heating and, you know, a lot of the, you know, climate change in general, and I know that could become an issue environmentally before a lot of the other environmental stuff could catch up with us later, but it will catch up with us later if we keep doing it. So I'm curious what the impact the rest of the way is. So
yeah, plus
it's funny you bring up that
cobalt and lithium running around either.
Yeah,
it's funny you talk about the greenwashing term, because that was brought up by the Rivian CEO, actually.
Really? Oh shit! Yeah. What's he got to say?
Basically, he's fed up with companies exaggerating their environmental credentials. There's far too much greenwashing in the system, quote unquote. It's too easy for a company to basically obscure the source of its power consumption, etc., etc. So, like, okay, let's say you're using non-renewable power to build your electric car or whatever, and that's
so charge them.
Yeah, and it came, well, yes, but like, so that's what I was talking about, where like, even if you're using like natural gas or coal to charge it, because internal combustion engines are innately so inefficient, it's still, you still come out ahead charging them on traditional grid power as far as carbon goes.
It's like just a totally weird, but yeah, it's a weird concept because it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it came in, they're basically building 800 megawatts of solar power for their factory specifically so that they can run their manufacturing on renewables at least. So
yeah, and for optics, the solar farm is located on top of a former coal mine in Kentucky.
Gotcha.
But there's far too much greenwashing going on, he says.
Yeah, no, but he's not responsible for any of it.
No.
Definitely not. Okay,
just gonna put our solar farm on top of a coal mine.
Well,
much greenwashing.
I mean, it's not greenwashing if it's true. That's his point. Like, greenwashing is saying, like, oh, yes, we create this renewable thing, and it's like, yes, but to do it, you do all sorts of non-renewable stuff to create the thing. Okay, you're covering up your environmental irresponsibility with it's like whitewashing. You're covering up something horrible with a very thin coat of something good. And he's trying to say that they're trying to move further down the chain. It's not just this thin coat. They're trying to make it a more deeply ingrained thing to be renewable from beginning to end. And they're also partnering with Redwood Technologies that's doing the battery recycling, so they're trying to not mine anymore to make their batteries. Like, it's an effort, but you know, it's not done yet. But I think that's what he's going for, is that no, did they immediately become a perfect company? No, but they're trying to be transparent in their efforts to become a greener company versus obfuscating the fact that they're not trying, which is what he's claiming a lot of other companies are doing.
I guess I just think it's a really weak position to be arguing against greenwashing from an electric car company, because they are inherently greenwashing a really, really environmentally unsound product. Like you have to go a really long way to make and focus on very narrow metrics to make EVs make sense for all the reasons we constantly outline here. They're a bad idea. It's not that there aren't better ideas out there, and it's not that there aren't better technologies more suited to the way people actually use cars. It's just that tech bros glommed onto EVs because they go whir like laptop or something. I don't really know the reason. It's the one thing that can kind of be. And again, we've talked about the fact that intermediate technologies are fine as well. If I were this guy, because I don't know, maybe I'm just weird like this. I don't know that I'd be stepping out onto the very thin limb of other companies greenwashing, running an electric truck company. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much we have to continue to go over this stuff and our stance on the electric vehicle thing, but
It's all the twist on the narrative, though.
Right, narrative is all this is about.
Yeah, as the snake starts to eat itself on this, I feel like more this. It feels like a very Elon move to me, which is, you know, maybe damning with. Maybe too damning, but you know what I mean? It's like, oh, but all these other companies, we're the good company. We put our solar panels on the corpses of 500 rabbits. Like we're the good guys. Those rabbits, they were killed by your gas cars, but we put solar panels on. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so weird. I don't get it. It's just really weird to me. It seems bizarre.
Yeah. I'm in your corner on this one.
Yeah. We shall see. I have seen more Rivians around here. Shocking amount of electric cars here, which is really funny because there's a good amount of charging stations, but not that many. So there is like a race for the people with the electric cars to charge at like the grocery store or whatever, which is kind of interesting to see sometimes.
Tristan, I don't know about you. I see Rivians around here too. Like I've seen one or two of the pickups, but the SUVs all of a sudden are popping up quite a bit. Yeah,
what is it? R1S or whatever.
Yeah.
I still don't think I've seen the SUV. I think I've only seen the pickup.
The SUV looks way better than the pickup.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, no, sorry, just looking at pictures. I still have not seen this. I've only seen the pickup.
It's pretty big, too.
Yeah, because it's built on the truck frame.
Yeah, it's...
There you go.
It's pretty big. Yeah, am I the person who's getting people on the SUV train and away from minivans? Me sitting here saying, oh, the SUV looks way better.
But no one makes a, well, in this country, no one makes a fully electric van.
Nope.
Of any kind, I don't think.
Oh, Ford makes like transits that are electric.
Do they here?
Yeah. Yep.
Really? Well, that's quite
interesting. Not like a minivan, take your kids around van.
Well, the transit.
It's more of a fleet vehicle, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, but you can buy them for yourself. They make them. Seats. They do not make them in the the Transit Connect,
right?
They are full size vans, but yes, they do make those, which is funny. I was scrolling through to see what models they offered, and they have a mini configurator where it just changes the color. And they call it the 360 degree colorizer. And I thought it's a 360 degree colonizer.
Oh.
It's like a bit on the nose, guys.
I saw the new exciting Amazon electric van that one time, and I've never seen one since. And I'm kind of disappointed now because it's back to like the rented U-Hauls around here, which is kind of shitty because that Amazon van was real cheery and happy and I liked it.
I don't think I've seen one around here at all.
Yeah, Rivian makes them.
They do.
Rivian Amazon Prime van or something. They have like a full name.
They have, I mean, they're fully Amazon branded from yes. the front to the side. I mean, everything is 100% Amazon. There was not a maker's mark on it anywhere that I could see.
The Rivian EDV is what it's called.
Exciting delivery vehicle or something. I swear I read something about this electric delivery vehicle, but there's also like some, because it's got the smile on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is a happy looking little fella, or big fella.
It is huge. Yes, it mm-hmm. is huge and quite tall. But I think I talked about this.
Yeah, it's weird,
anyways, weirdly tall. I was disappointed to go back to the old one. It felt like we went back in time, and it was kind of... And also, I will say this. These Rivian vans do seem to be vastly superior in terms of design for actually delivering shit tons of Amazon packages. Like the way the shelving was laid out and kind of walked back in with like a low step out. They seem to be better than... the other stuff, and it's kind of like, well, I guess get as many of those as you can because that makes more sense than the alternative.
The Oshkosh Defense NGDV though takes the cake for weird looking little electric delivery van.
Is that the one the
post office is using? Use?
Yeah,
yeah. I for one welcome the quirky little bastard.
Okay, so I have an issue with this, and I have for a long time, and I think I brought up the one time we talked about it. I have no proper scale on this. It just seems so massive when compared with the current mail trucks.
If you look at it, the seat makes it clear how big it is. And yes, I would say it's like a quarter again as tall as the
nothing taller, but I think it's longer.
It is longer, yes.
And I feel like that would be a problem because most of what I see the mail trucks do is weave in between garbage cans and parked cars to deliver mail. Like so much for the, you know, rain or snow or dark of night. They're just dodging city traffic.
And van, like, nor trash can, nor parked motorcycle.
Exactly. And I feel like this will not be able to do the same thing as your salty mail woman who's been delivering mail for 35 years and could have retired 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like she needs a little more action in it. She needs more nimble. She's too skilled for this van.
Well, out here we've got right-hand drive Jeeps, so I can't say anything.
What?
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's what we use to deliver shit. Or they use to deliver shit out here.
Yeah, no, it's the same, you know, it's the same little mail truck, but you know, like get that thing in there and zip it around. You've never seen a mail delivery van split the two trash cans sitting at opposite ends of the driveway to get, you know, to put mail in the mailbox right over like the recycle bin. You know what I mean? Just like shoot the little van in there.
I'm just talking about like they managed to do amazing things with full size Jeep Cherokees.
Oh, full size Jeep Cherokee. Oh, yeah. I guess.
Also, yeah. More on the theme of mail trucks. Somehow, they only have two speeds.
Forward and reverse,
full throttle or nothing. They're full parked. They're parked delivering mail or until the next mailbox. Like so just
go-karts, like or golf carts.
Golf carts.
Yeah, like yeah. that. On the gas
big,
ones too.
Big throttle inputs. That's all.
Yeah. I mean that makes sense, right? They're man. What do you think is going to happen to these when they get sold? Is it just going to be a bevy of extremely quirky Hufflepuffs doing weird shit to old mail vans?
It already is.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Is it?
It's already happening.
I saw one that had been repurposed into a cupcake delivery truck.
Okay. Sure.
It was pink with blue writing on it.
It sure would be.
Yep.
I haven't seen that yet.
You betcha.
How much is it to buy a mail truck? Mail truck for sale. That almost got me there.
That almost did it.
I want a real one. I don't want a fake one. I want a real one.
It's only a model.
Well, that's what I got. And playground mail trucks. Is it legal to own a USPS truck? What do you mean? What do you mean? Is it legal?
I mean, eventually it's going to be legal, right? They got to decommission them at some point.
Well, they will go to auction, apparently. But actually, this article about how you can, from Motor Biscuit, the well-known
what
Motor Biscuit, you can buy one when they go onto auction sites. However, the author makes it very clear to point out it is illegal and is in fact a federal crime to impersonate a mail carrier.
So yes, you will have to remove all the branding.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will do that, right?
Of course. I mean, why would you not?
Well, because they decommission Humvees before they sell them. So you'd think they could take some stripey tape off a mail truck.
Stripey tape.
I don't know. I've always assumed it was tape. Is that weird? I've always assumed it's not painted on there, but isn't it reflective tape?
I have no idea. That's a really good question.
I've always assumed it was tape. Is that weird?
No. I haven't thought about it, I guess.
Now's your chance, man.
Think about it now.
Or decals. You know what I mean? Tape, but decals, yeah. Stickers.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, are decals all
right, clearly deeper? Clearly, we've said everything there is to possibly say about mail trucks, right? Anything else?
I think we're good.
No, I think we've clearly said everything we need to today.
Okay.
Thanks for the derailment, Andrew.
Listen, I'm just telling you.
Listen.
When the aliens are, I don't know, what would they do? If this is real, what would they do next?
Yeah,
exactly. So the next time something bad happens, you can blame the aliens and be secure in the knowledge that it's all 100% real and
peer-reviewed.
It's peer-reviewed. Yeah, exactly. Everything any crazy person on the internet has said is absolutely true. Because you can't lie on the internet. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, everything you find there is true, obviously. Mm-hmm. You can trust
everyone.
Anything. Yeah.
Official disclaimer, see. Don't trust anyone on the internet, by the way.
Oh my gosh, trust no one. X-Files. It all connects.
Should we get out of here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
yeah, let's do that.
So before we let you go, we need to remind you how to get a hold of us on social media, if you're so inclined. There will be a poll going up on Facebook to talk about the Aston Martin Valor in relation to the Bullet Edition Mustang.
It doesn't. There's no need because it doesn't look like that.
And you can participate in that poll by looking up Check Engine Podcast on Facebook. Andrew, where can they find us on X?
Oh, Christ. I forgot about that. At Check Engine Pod on... Is that actually what it's called?
It is.
On
X.
Twitter. I can't do that. And okay. On X and also X. On Threads and also on Mastodon at Check Engine Podcast at mastodon.social.
There you go.
X. Come on.
Tristan, how about Instagram?
At Check Engine Pod, which as Andrew mentioned, that's happens to coincide with our Threads account because they are the same thing. Correct.
In case anybody was wondering. So be sure to like, follow, share, post, DM, just reach out how and when you can. You can ask us questions to answer on the air. Let us know what you like or dislike. You can give us topic ideas. Thank you in advance. And also, as you're listening to us on whatever platform you're listening to us on, hopefully Spotify, because that's who's hosting us. We're very grateful to them. But it doesn't really matter, because no matter where you listen, there's a subscribe button. You can hit that subscribe button. It's free. You're going to get notified of anything we put out. And if you like what you're hearing, just leave us a review, would you? That'd be awesome. Preferably a good one. 4 stars, 5 stars. You know, if we're really reaching for it, we'd really appreciate it. If you're really into what we're doing and would like to support this podcast monetarily, buy swag. CEPswagshot.com. If you don't want to deck out your cell phone with a case or buy a backpack or wear soccer slides or get a new hoodie, you have two other options to support us monetarily. You can go to patreon.com/checkenginepodcast, or you can hit the support button on our homepage at Spotify for Podcasters. Every cent pledged is put towards making this a better experience for you, the listener, and it doesn't go back into our greedy little pockets. So thank you in advance for that. Who are we shouting out before we turn the microphones off?
Shouting out. Let's see here. I think I'm going to have to shout out basically everyone I work with. I can't get into too many details because I'd like to keep like the work and podcasting mostly separate. But as we end of fiscal year, ramping up into the new year, obviously, a lot of things have been changing completely outside of things that I can help with, like in terms of technology and policy, and everyone has been really understanding of the fact that I can't actually stop this from happening, but I can try to help. And sometimes that's not enough for people, but it's been enough for basically everyone I work with so far. And that has made my job like 1,000,000% easier because there's literally nothing I can do, but we'll figure it out together.
There you go.
Well,
Tristan can attest to that.
Yeah. Yeah. While we're on work shout outs, I will say, I'll throw a thank you out there for my team. I have decided basically to use all of my vacation over a 4-week span, because of invitations from both, my family and you, Nick. I'm going to be gone a lot from the end of July to the end of August. And they are doing their heroic best to fill in for me while I'm gone. And it is much appreciated, so I can accept this time away and cool experiences with people. So thank you. Thank you guys for covering for me where you can.
Well, proving your worth as well. I mean, I think they call that, you know,
proving their worth.
No, proving your worth because of all the things they have to deal with while you're gone. They're like, oh, that's man, true. Tristan could solve this in a second. They'll be more grateful.
Yeah,
well, that's true. I'm not out there to prove anything, but it would be nice if this resulted in us getting more people. I will say that.
Oh, hey,
you're proving a point to leadership. That's
That's right. Yeah. Sending a message.
But the boys, they got me.
The boys. The boys. I would like to shout out IMSA and say thank you to IMSA for creating such an awesome sports car series for a fan experience. We are recording this on the eve of us being able to see the Grand Prix at Road America, greatest place in the world. I have been told by someone who's going to be doing one of the vendor booths up there that every single vendor space and slot from up by the Gearbox restaurant all the way down to turn 14 is completely sold out.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're expecting crowds bigger than the NASCAR Xfinity race that was just there last weekend.
No way.
Yeah. This what? Weekend is going to be off the hook. So thanks to IMSA for providing such a great platform that automakers can get behind and market and be a part of to generate interest and like weekends like we're about to experience up here in our home state. So thank you very much, IMSA, for that.
And thank you for putting both feature races on Sunday.
Hey.
Oh
shit. Oh no. That's
oh cool, right. Andrew.
I'm gonna miss it. Oh god.
WeatherTech race starts at like 10:30. Pilot Challenge at 2 p.m. Just back to back.
That's gonna be sick.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. So thank you to IMSA. And as always, thank you, listeners, for your continued support. We love hearing from you. We love recording this for you. And we cannot wait to speak to you again. Until we do, take care.